Today we're going to talk about the war that we're all in. Whether you like it or not, whether you believe it or not, we're all in a war. Humankind is in a war. As children of God and those who have sided with the kingdom of God, we have been given armor to protect ourselves in the war and to continue standing against the enemy. So that's what we're going to talk about today. Last time, I just want to, I talked about the parable of the 10 virgins or the 10 bridesmaids, and I explained that that meant that you needed to be filled with the Spirit and that you needed to stay alert to Christ's return, looking at the signs, and then also being right with God, being filled with the Spirit, always walking in obedience and in the Spirit of God. That way, when Christ returns or when you see the signs of his coming return, you are able to be navigated by the Holy Spirit through dark days. And I talked about how the being filled with the Spirit is basically walking in the Spirit, consistently being obedient to God. And we shared some things in Ephesians chapter 5. And I alluded to Ephesians chapter 6 as well about what it looked like to be filled with the Spirit. So it boils down to consistent obedience and walking in the Spirit. If you're walking in the Spirit, you will be eventually filled with the Spirit. It just happens because you're saying to God, I know I'm weak. I know I cannot please you and obey you in my own flesh. I need your Holy Spirit. And as you yield to the Holy Spirit, he gives you power to overcome sin and he leads your life. And the more you let him lead in every area of your life, the more you're filled. So if you let him lead in every area, you're filled completely with the Spirit of God. And you need to be that way in these dark days, especially when you see the signs of Jesus' return. And so that's what we talked about. But I want to go into the war because as a kingdom citizen, you're going to be fighting against the enemy who does not want you to walk in his Spirit. He doesn't want you to be ready when Christ returns. And he wants you to be like the five foolish virgins, the five foolish bridesmaids who didn't have enough oil, who weren't filled with the Spirit because they were too busy doing other things in life and they just did not care to make Christ a priority in their life. And so they ended up missing Christ, missing the kingdom of God, missing the ceremony and missing eternal life because they allowed the cares of this world or to prevent them from being ready when he returned. So we're in a war, but we've been given armament to handle the enemy. And so that's what I want to talk about today. So our scripture reading is going to be in Ephesians chapter 5 and then Ephesians chapter 6. I'm going to reiterate some things about walking in the Spirit because I know people need to hear that again. And then we'll come into Ephesians chapter 6. So let's get into it. Ephesians chapter 5, I'm going to read all the way from the beginning. Last time I only read verses 13 on down, but I'm going to read from the beginning. And I'm going to read chapter 6 as well. So let's go at the beginning of Ephesians chapter 5. This is the New Living Translation. It says, imitate God, therefore, in everything you do, because you are his dear children. Live a life filled with love. Follow the example of Christ. He loved us and offered himself as a sacrifice for us, a pleasing aroma to God. Let there be no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes, these are not for you. Instead, let there be thankfulness to God. You can be sure that no immoral, impure, or greedy person will inherit the kingdom of Christ and of God. For a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't be fooled by those who try to excuse these sins, for the anger of God will fall on all who disobey him. Don't participate in the things these people do. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have light from the Lord. So live as people of light, for this light within you produces only what is good and right and true. Carefully determine what pleases the Lord. Take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. It is shameful even to talk about the things that ungodly people do in secret. But their evil intentions will be exposed when the light shines on them. For for the light makes everything visible. This is why it is said, "Awake, O sleeper, rise up from the dead, and Christ will give you light." So be careful how you live. Don't live like fools. This is in verse 15 now. But like those who are wise, make the most of every opportunity in these evil days. Don't act thoughtlessly, but understand what the Lord wants you to do. Don't be drunk with wine, because that will ruin your life. Instead, be filled with the Spirit, singing songs and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves, and making music to the Lord in your hearts. And give thanks for everything to God, the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. And further, submit to one another out of reverence for Christ. For wives, this means submit to your husband as to the Lord. For a husband is the head of his wife, as Christ is the head of the church. He is the Savior of his body, the church. As the church submits to Christ, so you wives should submit to your husbands in everything. For husbands, this means love your wives just as Christ loved the church. He gave up his life for her, to make her holy and clean, washed by the cleansing of God's word. He did this to present her to himself as a glorious church, without a spot or wrinkle or any other blemish. Instead, she will be holy and without fault. In the same way, husbands ought to love their wives as they love their own bodies. For a man who loves his wife actually shows love for himself. No one hates his own body, but feeds and cares for it, just as Christ cares for the church. And we are members of his body. As the scriptures say, a man leaves his father and mother and is joined to his wife, and the two are united into one. This is a great mystery, but it is an illustration of the way Christ and the church are one. So again, I say each man must love his wife as he loves himself, and the wife must respect her husband. So that's Ephesians chapter 5. He talks about a bunch of stuff. You know, imitate God in everything you do. Be filled with love. He said that let no sexual immorality, impurity, or greed be among you. Such sins have no place among God's people. Obscene stories, foolish talk, and coarse jokes. Let there be thankfulness in your heart instead. He said those who are immoral, impure, or greedy will not inherit the kingdom of God. He said, for greedy people are idolaters, they worship things of this world. And he says, don't be fooled by those who try to excuse their sins. So there's people that in the churches right now and in your local fellowship who may say stuff like, well, you know, I'm once saved, always saved. You know, God loves me despite my sin. And he knows it's hard for me to overcome things, and I'm going to still be accepted by him. No, Christ wants to change that behavior and change your mind about it. And anybody believing otherwise is fooled and they're deceived, and they ain't gonna make it into heaven. He says it clearly here. They will not inherit the kingdom of Christ in verse 5 here. So he goes on and says that don't participate in the things these people do. This could be people in your church. It could be people outside in the world. For once you were full of darkness, but now you have the light from the Lord. So live as people of the light. So we shouldn't be living in darkness. Shouldn't have anything secret that we're doing that's evil. We got to stay in the light. No undercover stuff. Everything in our life must be in the light. Nothing undercover. No lying, deception. No, you know, late night pornography. Nothing you're hiding on behind the scenes, none of that stuff. We got to walk in the light completely, okay? If not, you're going to end up in the lake of fire. So we got to do that. And any sin that you feel like you're doing on the cover that you seem like you can't overcome, well, that's a lie. The Lord can give you power through the Holy Spirit to overcome that. He says to take no part in the worthless deeds of evil and darkness. Instead, expose them. And so it's important that, especially in your church, if there's something, then you expose it. Now, depending on what kind of church you have set up, if the majority are wicked, then it's best to leave, because exposing is not going to really fix anything. But if you are in church and there are things happening in a real church that's full of saints, and this is a minority of evil workers in there, then that needs to be exposed. And Christ will help you, the leaders and everybody, work to remove such person if they don't repent. And in the world, in some cases, God will call you to expose bad behavior. So that's what scripture teaches us, that we shouldn't just, you know, be quiet about certain things, but expose it and say, hey, this ain't right. But we got to be led by the Spirit in how we deal with things like that. And he says, he goes on to say, but every evil intention will be exposed from the light as when the light shines on them. So anything we're doing in the dark, anything they're doing in the dark, whether it be the world or the church or whoever, is going to be exposed. So it might as well start living right now. Anything we got in the dark, bring it to the light. This is what it is. It's going to get exposed. It's just the way it is. He goes on to say here, you know, how to live in the Spirit and just to be living in the Spirit. Don't be drunk, but be filled with the Spirit. It's in verse 18. He looks at what the outcome of that be, you know, singing psalms and hymns and spiritual songs among yourselves and making music and to the Lord in your hearts. You know, this is the outcome of it. Now, I mentioned before that some people do this, but they're not filled with the Spirit. And that's because they're just following, they're not obeying God and living right. And that's the main point of this whole teaching here in Ephesians chapter 5. You're just walking in the Spirit, obeying God consistently, you'll eventually be filled with the Spirit. And he goes on to say that it's about giving thanks, and it's about wives and you know, submitting to their husbands, and husbands obeying the Lord and loving their wives. So whether or not your husband's obeying the Lord and loving you, wives, you need to submit to your husbands anyway. Vice versa, your wife ain't submitting to you, you need to love your wife anyway. Gotta work it out. We talked about that in 1 Peter, I think, forget the scripture, about winning the other spouse when you're, you know, doing what you're supposed to do for the Lord. So we talked about that. So I just want to reiterate that because it's so important. And now let's go to Ephesians chapter 6, because this is what we're talking about today. And it continues on. It says, children, obey your parents because you belong to the Lord, for this is the right thing to do. Honor your father and mother. This is the first commandment with a promise. If you honor your father and mother, things will go well for you and you will have a long life on earth. Fathers, do not provoke your children to anger by the way you treat them. Rather, bring them up with the discipline and instruction that comes from the Lord. Slaves, obey your earthly masters with deep respect and fear. Serve them sincerely as you would serve Christ. This can be applied also to just us working on a job. What's being taught here is that we ought to obey our masters and our employers. They ask us to do something, do it. If it's not against God and it's not sinful, do it. You know, let's not be people who don't do our jobs correctly, but be people who work unto the Lord, as it says here. It says, try to please him all the time, not just when they are watching you. It says, as slaves of Christ, do the will of God with all your heart. Work with enthusiasm, as though you were working for the Lord rather than for people. Remember that the Lord will reward each of us for the good we do, whether we are slaves or free. Verse 9. Masters, treat your slaves in the same way. Don't threaten them. Remember, you both have the same master in heaven, and he has no favorites. A final word, and this is where we get into the whole armor of God. Verse 10, be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. Put on all of God's armor so you will be able to stand firm against all strategies of the devil. For we are not fighting against flesh and blood enemies, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers of the dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. Therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so you will be able to resist the enemy in the time of evil. Then, after the battle, you will still be standing firm. Stand your ground, putting on a belt of truth and the body armor of God's righteousness. For shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so that you will be fully prepared. In addition to all of these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. Stay alert and be persistent in the prayers for all believers everywhere. And pray for me, too. Ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike. So just for the Hebrew Israelites out here that think that the white man can't be saved and the gospel isn't for him, and it's for the Jews and the Gentiles. Verse 20, I am in chains now, still preaching this message as God's ambassador, so pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. So I'm going to just stop right there. There's a little bit more, but it's just some final greetings to the people at his time. Let's talk about this armor. Let's talk about this war. He tells us, and we're commanded to be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. This is verse 10 of Ephesians chapter 6. Be strong in the Lord and in his mighty power. So the only way we can be strong is if we're in the Lord and in his mighty power. We cannot be strong in our flesh. We cannot be strong by ourselves. We have to be in the Lord. And we talked about walking in the Spirit. We need to walk in the Holy Spirit at all times. He says to pray in the Holy Spirit at all times. Why? Because we cannot win this battle with the enemy for our souls individually if we're doing it in our flesh. We cannot please God in our flesh. We cannot succeed and make it to the end and endure to the end and have eternal citizenship in the kingdom of God without the Holy Spirit. No one can say, I saved myself, I made it. If we could get into heaven by our works, apart from the Holy Spirit, there would be no need for Christ dying. We could have just get in. So we just got to keep that in our mind. I keep telling people that we need to be walking in the Spirit, yielding to God every day and saying, I cannot do what you're telling me to do, but in your power, I can. And I will be successful because your Holy Spirit empowers me. You have to say that, believe it. You have to believe in your weakness on a daily basis. You have to believe in God's power to overcome your weakness on a daily basis. And you'll see success and progress in your life. You'll see it. I've seen it. So we start with that. He says, put on all of God's armor, not just certain pieces, as he breaks down, but put on the whole armor of God. I've heard people just say, put on one piece, put on the other piece. No, put on the whole armor of God. You need to be protected from head to toe. He says that we are not fighting against flesh and blood, but against evil rulers and authorities of the unseen world, against mighty powers in this dark world, and against evil spirits in the heavenly places. We're fighting against spirits. We're not dealing with actual people. When there's somebody bothering you in the physical, that's a spirit operating through them. When circumstances are changing for you and they seem to be getting dark, it's not the place, it's the spirits behind it. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. When you got thoughts and you upset with somebody, and you, it may not be that person, it may be the spirits that are operating on your mind about that person. We have to be mindful of the fact that we have an enemy that's unseen, that's constantly strategizing on how to bring about our downfall. Every day we wake up, we have to acknowledge that we're in a war. There may not be explosions around us. There may not be wreckage. There may not be gunshots and things passing over our head and people yelling and screaming and what you typically see in a war scenario. But it's happening in the spiritual plane. You know, one day you may have mood swing, your mood will change. You're like, what's up with this? I feel a certain kind of way. That's the enemy in some cases trying to tell you you feel a certain way. And if you're not conscious of what you're dealing with, you'll just go along with your feelings. I've had it happen to me multiple times. I'm doing all right. I woke up thankful, glorifying God, starting my day. I sit somewhere to get to working, and then I hear spirits of resentment and different things like that, and my mood is trying to be altered some kind of way, and it's like these thoughts are trying to get me down, and I'm like, what is this? And I say, oh, those are those devils that we have to fight on a daily basis, you know? And I begin to rebuke them and say, the Lord, we rebuke you and get away from me. I don't receive that. I don't accept anything that you're bringing to me. And they begin to go away. So we have to acknowledge that on a daily basis. Sometimes it's not your spouse that's bothering you. It's the devil that's got you thinking your spouse is the problem. Sometimes your spouse is got spirits in them, and the spirits are using them to bother you. You know, you at work and your coworkers are bothering you. The spirits in them doing that. We can't get upset with the people because they love to get us fighting with flesh and blood when it's those devils sitting around instigating the whole thing. See, we have to be conscious of these things. There's a spiritual plane that we cannot see that's in operation, and these forces are against us. We have to keep that in mind. So he says, here's how we can protect ourselves. Verse 13, it says, therefore, put on every piece of God's armor so that you will be able to resist the enemy in the times of evil. Then after the battle, you will be still standing firm. And that's what God wants for us, still standing firm despite the war that we've been in. He says, stand your ground, putting on the belt of truth. That's the first piece of armor that we're wearing, the belt of truth. What is that about? Well, that means being honest, walking in honesty. And he mentions this as a belt because the belt keeps your pants up. You're in a war, you're fighting, and if you're not honest, your pants could fall down. That could lead to you having to bend down to pick them up, and then you could be hit by the enemy, usually in the behind. So we have to be honest. We have to walk in honesty and keep our pants up. That way we can move without our pants falling down. You see some of these kids today walking around with their pants sagging, and they try to run from the police and they fall. You see what I'm saying? So this is what that means with that. You know, being honest, walking in honesty, that keeps your pants up. If you're not walking in honesty, you can be exposed by the enemy and be hit. You can't move like that in a war with your pants always sagging and falling off you. You can't move like that. So we have to be honest. It goes on to say to put on the body armor of God's righteousness, or the breastplate of righteousness. Now, I had a whole article about that, and it's basically about saying that our righteousness is filthy rags. There's nothing righteous about us. When we declare that on a daily basis and we pick up the righteousness of Christ, and that he is the one, is the author of right and wrong, he is righteous and we're not, that's how you put on the breastplate. You put on the breastplate by acknowledging that you are not righteous. Your good works mean nothing, okay? You're not a good person by yourself, on your own. We have to say that because that's the truth. God created us, he created right and wrong, and righteousness flows through us from him. We are not righteous by ourselves. He flows his righteousness through us, so we have to acknowledge that. Too often we do righteous things and say we're good people on our own. And we don't give God no credit. We may verbally say it, but in our hearts, it's about us. And so that is walking in our flesh and walking in our own breastplate, in our own armor. And that's how we get beat up by the enemy, because that's worthless to the enemy. The enemy don't care nothing about your flesh. He'll go right through that. It's like walking into a war without any kind of body armor on. You don't have any kind of thing to protect your chest and stomach and stuff. When you're walking in the power of Christ, in his righteousness, that's when the enemy, he can take body shots all day, but it's not coming in. It's not going to penetrate. So I'll link to that article about that. It goes on to say that, verse 15, for shoes, put on the peace that comes from the good news so you will be fully prepared. These are the shoes of the preparation of the gospel, as said in the King James Version. That means that we should always be prepared to preach the message of the good news. If you're not prepared to preach the gospel to somebody, you don't have no shoes on. You're not ready to go. The soldiers always had their shoes prepared right by their desk. I mean, right by their bed. So just say, for instance, oh, we need you to go and do X, Y, and Z. Their boots are ready to go. Some of them even slept in their boots. They were ready. We have to be ready with the gospel anytime. You got to preach it. That's what motivates us, basically. And that's why the gospel is appended to shoes, because that's what motivates. We're always given that gospel of peace that God wants to reconcile with humankind and be peace amongst humans and God. So we got to be ready with that message. That's what motivates us. That's what motivates me with this teaching here, the Kingdom series and this whole ministry. It's about that. Getting people right with God. You know, reconciliation. That's what motivates me. That there's a better way. There's a better world. There's a better kingdom. There's a better life out there. And God wants you to get right with him. And he wants to help you get right with him. That should be in your heart amongst the sinners that you're around. And be ready and be led by the Spirit to preach the gospel to whoever needs to hear the gospel. It goes on to say, in addition to all these, hold up the shield of faith to stop the fiery arrows of the devil. Faith is a big one. Believing God's word will prevent you from being hit with the lies of the enemy, which are in some cases like fiery darts that are not only going to pierce you, but set you on fire. Lies will mess your entire life up. But if you have faith in the truth of what God has said, you're able to block what the enemy is trying to do in your life. And so that's what we're doing every day and every growth period in our lives in Christ. We're learning new things. We're learning the truth about what God is saying for our life. And we're coming out of deception. It's layer by layer. He's pulling back deception and allowing us to see the truth. And so that next time the enemy tries to come at us, we can say, nope, this is what God says. And I'm going to block this dart that this enemy is trying to come at me with. So the shield of faith is a big deal. And the only way we know how to bring that shield up is to know the word of God. What does God say about certain things? Knowing the truth, studying the word of God and saying, this is what God says about my life. I'm not going to let the enemy say this to me. I'm not going to let the enemy lie to me. I block that dart in the name of Jesus. And I'm not going to allow that to penetrate me, nor will it set me on fire. I'm going to stop those darts and those lies from the enemy. That's what the shield of faith is all about. Faith in what God has said and holding it up. It blocks everything. He goes on to say, verse 17, put on salvation as your helmet and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. So we have this helmet of salvation here. And I had a whole article about that. The helmet of salvation is very important. It's not just believing, oh, I'm a child of God. I've heard that said by preachers, and that's not what it's about. You know, it's about thinking about what you think about. Dealing with the thoughts that come into your mind. That's why it's pinned to your head. When you think about what you think about, and thoughts come into your mind that are not of God, you reject those thoughts. When thoughts come into your mind that are partially true, you can bring those thoughts, part of those thoughts that are not true, into subjection to Christ and make it right. That's how you wear the helmet of salvation. That's just a quick paraphrase of that entire article about putting on the helmet of salvation. Okay, we got to think about what we think about, because the enemy loves to inject thoughts into our minds and say things to us, making it sound like it's us. Don't you feel this way? Don't you think this way? And we have to monitor what we're thinking about and say, wait a minute. Is that what the word of God says? You know what? That's partially true, but then it also has some deception mixed in with that. Let me take what the lying part of that and remove that. Oh, you know what? What's being said to me is totally ridiculous. This is the enemy rejecting that. As we do that, we put on the helmet of salvation, and it blocks it protects our head, our minds, from the enemy's projections and thoughts. It's something that we have to do. We have to continue to do that. We cannot walk around believing every thought that comes in our mind is us and acting on those thoughts. And emotions are thoughts too, because they're feelings. And the enemy can say, well, you feel this kind of way. That's a thought. It's a thought of feeling. I feel a certain kind of way. You can say, no, I don't feel that kind of way. And I'm not going to receive that feeling. And you'll find that your emotion just changed. You were angry for no reason. Now you're not. You were becoming depressed. And then you say, wait a minute, this ain't of God. What do I need to be depressed about? I'm a child of God. You know, I started a new day. What is this? You can reject that feeling or that emotion and it'll go away. That's the enemy. And that's you wearing the helmet of salvation and protecting yourself from the strategies of the enemy. Then he says to take up the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And that's the defensive weapon, and it's used to stab the enemy. And I love to bring the word of God up against the enemy. This is what the word of God says. And it's like that sword just stabs the enemy right in the face, right in the stomach, rips off their arms, slices their arms off rather, slices their head off, decapitates them. The word of God. And that's what people don't like when you bring the word of God up. This is what the word of God says. When Jesus was dealing with the enemy, in the wilderness, and he was tempting him with this and that, using scriptures and all that stuff. Jesus responded with the word. It is written, he would say. Then he would go in and show him what God said, and he would just cut Satan again. He said, he cut me again. He would come with something else. Jesus would bring out that sword and swipe him again. Swipe him another time. And Jesus, and then Satan had to back off and say, okay, I got to strategize a different way because this dude keep on beating me. This is how we got to be. We got to use that word against the enemy. That means we got to know it. That means we got to study it. We can resist the enemy and submit to God, but we got to bring that word up too and say, you know what? This is what the word of God says to you about your end. You see? So those are the armament that God has given us. There's another one called the zeal, the cloak of zeal, in which that's nothing but, if you look at a Roman soldier, he has a cape-like thing, red cape, that kind of part of, you know, his attire. And that was used to, when he was traveling, he had to go to sleep or something, he had to stop and go to sleep. He would use that to lay it on the ground and wrap himself up in the cold, and that would keep him energized, because if you're sleeping outside with no covering, it would bother your sleep and you wouldn't be rested enough to fight in the war again. So that was necessary for them to have. And so that's mentioned in another passage of scripture. It's not in Ephesians, but the cloak of zeal is important as well. And that gives us the energy and the power to continue to go on. So we need to get that zeal from God, and that comes from the Holy Spirit. So he goes on to say that we should pray in the Spirit at all times and on every occasion. And that's kind of how we get it as well. You know, just continue to pray. I want to be zealous for the Lord. He'll give you it. And it goes on to say, stay alert and be persistent in your prayers for all believers and everywhere. So we got to constantly pray for one another. I hope you guys are praying for me. When you guys email me your issues, I pray for you. So we got to continue to pray for one another. It goes on to say, and pray for me. And this is Paul saying this, ask God to give me the right words so I can boldly explain God's mysterious plan, that the good news is for Jews and Gentiles alike, or Israel and Gentiles alike. So once again, this is the gospel and the good news for everybody. It's not just for Israel, for everybody. God is trying to save everybody. I don't care if you're white, black, Chinese, Mexican, Indian. Don't matter your nationality, the color of your skin. Christ wants to save you if your willingness to repent of your sins and be born again. He's there for you. And he goes on to say in verse 20, I am in chains now, still preaching the message as God's ambassador. So pray that I will keep on speaking boldly for him as I should. And I pray the same thing for myself, that I keep on doing the will of God. Can keep on preaching this and teaching this gospel here. And you should pray the same for me. Just pray for me, y'all. Pray for me as I pray for you guys, marriages and your diligence and study and in your continuation and endurance in this faith walk. So that's how you put on the armor. There's seven pieces. And we got to put it on every day. He says to put it on, put all every piece on every day. So let's go over it again. We got put on, he said, the belt of truth, which is being honest, wearing God's righteousness and not our own. So what we're saying is that we are not right, but God is, and that our righteousness comes from God. So if I'm shining and people saying, man, you're such a good man of God, this, that, and the other, I give glory to God for that. I say, God is the one that empowers me to be righteous. And I tell that people that all the time. People compliment me via email about what I'm writing, and I would help them. I always give glory to God because he's the source. It goes on to say, put on the shoes of the good news. Back then, I mean, you couldn't fight in a war with no shoes on, with no sandals on. You walking on rocks and stuff, you can't walk like that. So you need to have shoes on. In this case, we're in a spiritual war, and we need to have our shoes on so we can move to preach the gospel, to keep moving. We can't move if we don't have the gospel as our motivation. If you don't have the gospel as your motivation, then you're not moving because you don't have any shoes on. Every day you should wake up thinking, like, I'm so glad that the God is reconciling man to himself. God has a plan for the redemption of mankind. I think about that every day. I wake up happy, like,
yeah, this world is jacked up, but God has a better one. And I'm always open to anybody who's down and says, you know what, I'm done with what I'm doing. I'm ready to hear what God has for me. And as he leads me in the spirit of God to somebody who needs to hear it, I'm available to teach them. You should be the same way. Your life should be in a place where you're able to share the gospel with somebody. Be ready. You just need the Holy Spirit to lead you in what to say. Goes on to say that you should have the shield of faith. We talked about that. And that is putting faith in what God says, believing what he says. Sometimes you don't understand it, but just holding on to that. That alone will keep you from being shot with an arrow that will set you on fire. Okay? We need to know what the word of God says, put faith in what he's saying, believe what he's saying, accept it, and hold on to it, and that will prevent the enemy from lying to us in some kind of way that will cause us to destroy our whole lives, because that's what an arrow would do, especially an arrow that's on fire. So we don't want to be catching fiery darts. We don't want that. We want to keep that shield up. And he says to put on the helmet of salvation, which is thinking about what we think about. And as we handle our thoughts, he handles the enemy's bombardment, our mindset, making our emotions go negative instead of positive. You see, the majority of the world does not think about what they think about. Whatever comes into their mind, they think is them. They accept it and they act on it. The saints don't do that. We think about what we think about. We analyze our thoughts and we say, you know what, is that the will of God? Is that the word of God? Is that something that is pleasing to God? Is that what God would want me to think about? Is that wrong? Is that right? And we analyze those things and we take them and we say, okay, some of that's not right. Let me correct the parts that's not right. Accept the parts that are. And then those that are just totally ridiculous, we reject it totally. We say, get out of here. I don't receive that. And finally, we had a sword of the spirit, which is able to stab the enemy, back him up off of us. And then we got the cloak of zeal. I always forget about that because it's not listed in this passages here. But the cloak of zeal is to always be fired up for the Lord. And we can get that from the Holy Spirit. So, and then he goes on to say about praying in the spirit at all times, always praying for the saints, meaning we're going to God about our people and saying our people are weak. They need your power. I'm weak. I need your power. This is how we wear this armor. This is how we stay strong. By declaring our weakness. We talked about this before. Declaring your weakness strengthens you. I can't do it, but God can. I can't do it, but God can. As you work with the Lord and say, I commit to doing the right thing in the power of the Holy Spirit, you'll find yourself doing the right thing in the Holy Spirit. You'll find yourself keeping the commandments. I think at the beginning of this talk in Ephesians chapter 5, he mentioned just being filled with love. That's the essence of the law. Loving your neighbor as yourself and loving God with your whole mind, body, and soul. And we can't do that without the Spirit of God. We must do that via the Spirit of God. Christ said, without him, we can do nothing. You must be filled with the Spirit. We must have Jesus Christ's power, his Spirit in us in order to please God. We cannot do it on our own. You can't just grab a law and say, okay, oh, I see we got 10 commandments here. Okay, all right, I'm going to check off one as I go. Not going to work for you. You're going to fail at some point, and then you're going to be upset with yourself, and then you're going to either give up, and some people believe that you just can't do it, and God's going to accept them anyway, and then some people constantly just continue to try to do it in their own flesh and fail. Both ways are not going to get you into the kingdom of God. You must be filled with the Spirit of God. You must be filled with the Spirit of God. You must walk in the Spirit of God. Know what he says and does. Commit to doing it in the power of the Holy Spirit, and you will be successful. That's all I got to say for today. Till next time, walk in the Spirit and be blessed. We'll be right back.